This is your announcer, Shannon St. Mainframe, welcoming you to our IPA livecast. Big news this week is apparently daily showers are unnecessary. More proof that Sid isn't lazy, just a next level thinker who is ahead of his time. And also very smelly. Our IPA livecast starts now.
Well, now hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Shannon, we'll get to it. But Sid, have you showered today?
Today, no. I'm on an every other day schedule.
I see. You're a water conservation.
Yeah.
Is it every other day, or is it you happen to go out every other day and that's when you shower?
Oh, I definitely go out way less frequently than every other day. But I still shower every other day.
That's not a tip for the show. You actually don't go out like more than once every 2 days?
I'm trying to think the last time I went out this week. Let me look at my calendar.
I feel like you're always telling me you hung out with Barry, you hung out with this guy.
It's not that frequent. I can't remember the last time I went out. Probably last weekend, maybe. I don't remember. Wow.
So you haven't left your house in over a week?
Not even to the store.
Probably.
That's kind of insane to me.
It is. Yeah, I mean,
I don't deny it.
I wouldn't say the word insane, but maybe
not insane. But
I'll
like
be going out later today. I will be going out later today.
Thank goodness.
It's mildly agoraphobic.
Yeah.
It's not even that. It's laziness. I'm not. It's not like there's things I want to do that I'm stopping myself from doing. There's just nothing I need to do.
I just feel like cooped up if I'm here for like sometimes I'll be in here for 24 hours, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Sid, do you take vitamin D pills?
I have been prescribed them a few times.
Yeah. Me too. I just and I'm out all the time.
I'm going to say, I've gotten them prescribed as well. And I'm sure, Jared, you're out more than I am. But like, so I can only imagine how depleted you are, Sid.
Yeah.
If you're not leaving out for 2 weeks.
I feel like that's a scam. Doctors have something to fill, like that they get paid to prescribe this vitamin.
My most recent primary care doctor absolutely had some sort of kickback because when she would prescribe me these kind of over-the-counter things, I would get a suggestion from this like startup pharmacy website, like, hey, buy it here. And it's like, she's clearly getting a kickback. This is disgusting. Yes. You know, and so I immediately stopped visiting.
My doctor's really good. I like him a lot. He's an Orthodox Jewish Russian immigrant, probably the first wave after the wall dropped or whatever, you know. But he's so quick with the medicine. He's so quick with the medicine. It's ridiculous. Like, I got a little pain in my leg. Oh, you should take, Paxil or something. I'm like, what? Where'd that fucking come from?
What's Paxil?
It's like an antidepressant.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm exaggerating, but that's, you know, everything is you got a vitamin D, you got to take this. Yeah. He's always got me like, because they autofill it. And I get it free. I paid $1, $2 total for medicines in the last 2 years, 4 years. So I just get, he autofills it and I go pick it up and I have like 80 bottles of shit that I never take because I don't need it.
Does he think you're taking it?
Well, if he asks me, I tell him the truth. But okay. I think he just, assumes if it doesn't come up, he assumes I'm taking it.
Well, I guess if your levels and everything look right, then...
So you have painkillers? Okay. What's going on here?
Dan? I do. I
what do you get to share?
Oh, sure.
I got some oxys.
Oh, wow. No, I don't want that. But I want something a little milder.
There has been a couple of times when he goes, that we could talk later. Sometimes like he'll go, he checks me like I haven't been there in 6 months. So he does a blood test and he goes, oh, this went down. You are taking the blah, blah, blah medicine? And I'm like, no, actually, I didn't take it. I just ate a better diet and I did a little more exercising. And he's like, oh.
But I don't know. It's probably blood pressure, right? I feel like that's another one that they try to get you on is the blood pressure, which I will say it absolutely worked for me. And then I feel like once I lost the weight, exactly like how you said, Darren.
You know what's funny?
That's the other thing.
I never.
But I think what I think that, sorry, Darren. What I think that is with the, for example, the blood pressure is they just assume, oh, people our age are lazy. They're not.
Yeah. Gonna work out.
Yeah. So we just have to like, how do we deal with their
just cut to lifestyle? The where we're going to get to anyway. Like I'm going to end up having to prescribe this because he's not going to do the shit I'm going to tell him to do. So let me prescribe it now. Whatever.
And he's a Russian, so probably his entire clientele is like middle aged Russian guys that don't want to do shit. You know.
Sit.
Yep. Though, like with me, with my fucking gout, I did all the stuff you're supposed to do to reduce it. And I still got it, so I ended up going on the medication anyway.
Yeah. Well, what were you supposed to do?
Just eat less red meat, less shellfish.
Oh.
Cut out.
Well, also, wasn't exercise a part of the?
ish. Not especially. Yeah.
I offered Sid to go. We went to Roland Roaster one time, and he's telling me he's having some medical, you know, the same stuff you said on the air. And I was like, "Let's go to the gym. You got a gym in your building. I'll go all the way to Bay Ridge because I love you as a friend. I would love to help you out and go to the gym."
Darren, I don't know if you remember, but Sid got a medical note from his doctor to avoid gym class in high school.
Yes, I know, but I thought maybe, you know, he got the fear of God into him from going to the doctor and stuff. And you did some things that you don't normally do.
I'm eating healthier for sure, and I'm on the meds now, so it seems to be under control, and I've lost a little weight.
Yeah. Well, it's a standing offer. I will still.
Well, standing is the deal breaker part.
If our schedule is never
Sid and his wife just need to get a dog that's Sid's responsibility, just so he has to leave the house at least three times a day.
Call the dog vitamin D.
Or Noah needs to move back to my neighborhood and have a dog that she needs me to walk.
That she doesn't
went
walk.
Out for that every fucking day.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah, the dog would have died if he didn't do that.
No. You don't want that.
I'm kidding.
Let's talk about what Shannon mentioned at the top of the show. The absolutely reputable news outlet New York Post reports that you don't need to take daily showers. Daily showers are purely performative and have no real benefit, experts insist. Now, of course, this doesn't mean everyone agrees with this. It's just these people who have been deemed experts by the fairly reputable New York Post say you shouldn't take these daily showers. Call it perfumative hygiene. Oh,
stop it. Now, I had to say, you know, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Experts say daily showers have no proven health benefit, dismissing the dousing as a socially accepted practice geared towards staving off accusation of funkness. As A-listers like Jake Gyllenhaal and Mila Kunis admit, they've been saying no to the nozzle. Why are we washing? Mostly because we're afraid somebody else will tell us that we're smelling. Environmentalist, what's his first name? Donna McCarthy.
Why do you hate Irish people, Rob?
Donna Chadwick.
Sure.
Hello, photo. All right, take a shower.
All right. Now we know why Rob picked this article.
The prostitute state author only hoses off once per month to help the environment. Oh, much like my dog. A lifestyle choice inspired by spending 2 weeks in the Amazon with the indigenous Yanomi people.
Yanomami.
Oh.
Say it right. Yanomami. Have respect.
Every other
reporter, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
They tell the reporter. He opposite said for a wash at the sink, using a cloth to give his body. Okay, so this is a fake headline. You know, this person does shower every day. He just showers in a different manner.
A horse bath, as they say.
Yes. Or I guess in this sense, an Irish bath. Oh. And while abstaining from daily showers might seem like antisocial behavior, medical experts are inclined to lean toward agreeing with earthy types like McCarthy, saying the modern obsession with cleanliness can only be hazardous to one's health.
How so? Manhattan
dermatologist Dr. Julie Rusak previously told the Post that prolonged daily showers could strip away the skin's microbiome, which plays a role in protecting the skin and is also extremely important in the overall health of the body.
Well, it does dry out your skin if you take like
a shower. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you could just moisturize. Chemist David Whitlock was so adamant about preserving his dermal barrier.
Dusty Rhodes Muffler wants to know if Rob, you would bang an earthy type.
I am very attracted to like the scent of like Dove soap, you know, like a cleanly soapy, like a cleanly soapy smell.
You could have paused there and given me 1,000 guesses of what scent you were going to say, and I would not have gotten to Dove soap. Wow, so
I like a cleanly. I do not like a musk. I will deal with a musk. Certainly, if it's a longer session, musks arise, and that can be arousing in its own way. But starting off, I want a soapy smell.
Would you put up with a certain musk from South Africa if you encountered it?
No, I would not bang Elon Musk.
Would you bottom for a Tesla?
No, I don't want a Tesla.
What would you bottom for, Elon Musk?
It's a Klondike bar.
A Klondike? Well, I don't know how many Klondike bars. Probably a few.
Not one.
Yeah. Okay, so that's fine. He's just saying, he's saying the act of a shower is wasteful, and there's other ways you can clean yourself, but you should clean yourself every day.
Yeah.
Do you wet wipe daily, Sid?
Daily showers. Mm-hmm. Specifically.
So do you wipe down your crotch every day, Sid?
No. Wipe what down about, like, my crotch.
Well, it's musk. It's like it builds up a little crustiness in musk.
Crustiness.
What if you nut in your crotch area?
What if what?
What if you nut in your crotch? You get some on you. Do you?
Well,
wash
no. If I nut, then I go shower after a nut.
Oh, always. Okay.
Usually.
Unless so you're admitting you don't nut daily. This is what we're
correct.
We've come to learn.
Correct.
Wow. Wow. You've changed, Sid. You've gotten old.
Is that true? You used to nut daily.
Well, are we counting? Are we talking about just sex or masturbation?
Any kind of nut.
I don't need to. If I showered after every every time I masturbated, there would be a water crisis.
Oh, wow. Really? Oh, okay.
I'm not getting sweaty from that. It's like a couple minutes. But from sex, yeah, I shower.
So it's not the semen on you. It's the sweat.
Well, also, I don't get semen on me when I masturbate.
I don't always, but it happens sometimes.
No, I am very meticulous.
What is your wait? So how do you avoid getting it on you?
We've talked about this a million times. I either do it into the toilet or I do it into a water paper towel.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The water paper towels. Okay. Yes, I said that's still.
You're never inefficient in your guarding technique. Mm-mm.
This
seems so procedural.
You're the LeBron James. Gladwell 10,000 hours. Yes. This is my 10,000 hours. I have maxed out at my skill level. I have everything accounted for.
It's the same.
All right. I hear you.
So he's the LeBron of.
I mean, I trust you. Yeah. You like what could we? What could really be said?
The goat.
If anything, I feel like I sometimes shower more than once a day.
Well,
not in the winter, in the summer when I'm going to the beach. Yeah, like when I'm more physically active. Yeah. But anyway, with the New York Post lately, they've been, you know, guys, before I thought it was kind of funny, but it's really scary how it, you know, unethical. Not. I don't even know if unethical is the thing. How slanted the post.
But that's always been the case, hasn't it?
Of course. But it feels like they're just getting more and more insane lately.
You think so?
Well, they had this article. You know, these protests are happening in Colombia, and
the university, not the country.
There's probably something going on in the country.
We don't know. It's getting a lot of coverage on television. And the mainstream, it's weird because, you know, what I'm seeing on Twitter and other social media outlets like Instagram, TikTok, I'm not as much on TikTok anymore. But it's just like a bunch of like nerdy kids just hanging out on a lawn. And anytime I've seen these disruptors quote unquote infiltrate, it's been just like, yeah, this looks fine, you know. But what else I've been noticing is that people are seeing how much press this is getting. So all these lunatics and bad faith actors show up and they just want to be on camera. And there's no discerning between these attention seekers and the actual protesters. I feel like the actual protesters are peaceful. They're not anti-Semitic. They're, well, look, some of them might just say something really stupid. And I,
they're
don't,
dumb kids. Like,
yeah,
they're, but, not like professional fucking,
exactly,
workers that have been doing this for decades and know exactly how to handle the media and how to,
well,
handle,
what's interesting is they're being very organized. They've told the protesters to not talk to the media. They have designated media trained representatives to speak to the media. Mm-hmm. And they are very organized, actually. And they apparently looked at the Columbia protests of 69, nice, for the Vietnam War, and used similar tactics, and even brought in some of those organizers to help with this protest, which I thought was kind of cool.
Wow.
So things, you know, it's, and so what are they asking for? Initially, I thought they were just asking for, you know, the war to end, but they're not just asking for that. They also want the university to divest from investing in the war or taking
specific
money from the war. Yeah. And so
why is a university investing in, like,
well,
in
they
a war
all have private that? Universities all have endowments that they invest in shit, I guess.
Also,
I don't know.
They do work for the military. They run data and stuff.
Oh, do they? Right. Columbia does?
There's stuff like, I don't know about Columbia, but I read that there was something with either Princeton or Harvard, one of the elite universities. They essentially have a commercial division. It's a college isn't a nonprofit. So, yeah, they just kind of get paid to process data.
Okay.
Or so, like, there's some way they're contributing to the military-industrial complex, okay. And they want that to stop. I'm truthfully not super up on it, but that's what it is. Anyway, so this is a story ran by the New York Post, and I was slightly stunned by it. And then the more I read it, the sillier it was. And the headline is, George Soros is paying student radicals who are fueling nationwide explosion of Israel-hating protests.
Well, at least I will. Let me give the Post credit for one thing, that they wrote Israel-hating and not Jew-hating.
Yeah.
So that slight distinction is already more than I would have expected from the Post.
I bet you it's in the body of the article.
You're probably right, but we'll get to that when we get to that. But just for the headline being that specific, I appreciate it.
And of course, the reason you say that is because George Soros, notable Jew. And it's this is very weird, because it's mixing dog whistles and conspiracies, because, yeah, you know, George Soros is this liberal puppet master, quote unquote.
Right.
But like the whole thing, I always felt it was a dog whistle for anti-Semitism.
But then it wasn't he Jew accused hate. Of like ratting out Jews to the Nazis or something? Isn't there something like that where he's like also anti-Jewish?
I think the Post speaks more to the like establishment shitty middle class and upper class Republicans in New York, whereas not so much the MAGA, you know, jerk-offs. Like, I feel like they might walk the line a little bit, but I feel like they're speaking more to the establishment brand of conservatism. So I feel like this would appeal more to that group.
Fair.
As opposed to MAGAs, who are generally a lot, most of them seem to be against aiding Israel. Yeah, they're two camps are opposed here.
But then Trump was a huge friend to Israel. So
yeah.
Yeah, they a lot of the MAGAs diverge from, I don't know if you can even call them MAGAs, like a lot of far right people diverge from Trump on that, I remember.
Yeah.
You know, like, why is he said he was going to not bomb Syria, and now he's doing everything Hillary Clinton would have done and all that stuff. Like, there was a lot of disillusionment there.
So, they're talking about the protests, and they're trying to link it to George Soros. And here's how they link it. They say that the protests are organized by branches of the Soros-funded Students for Justice in Palestine, SJP. And some of them have clashed with police. The SJP parent organization.
Sarah Jessica been... Parker? What does she have to do with this?
Oh, no.
And look at this. Look at this infographic. Israel hate camps explode, funded by Soros. And it's just a Muslim person, a black person who looks like a Black Panther with his fist in the air. And another Muslim person who's a paid protester.
Yes, which because is so they definitely funny. Don't look like they'd otherwise be pro-Palestine.
Right. I was just going to say they have to be paid to. Yeah.
Otherwise, she's staunchly Zionist. That lady in the hijab.
The SJP parent organization has been funded by a network of nonprofits, ultimately funded by, among others, so already contradicting their main thing, Soros, the billionaire left-wing investor. Would you call Soros left-wing?
No, of course not. He's a Catholic, yeah. Extreme capitalist. Lefty, yeah. See him, too, from the other direction.
All three colleagues, the protests are being encouraged by paid radicals who are, quote, fellows of a Soros-funded group called U.S. Campaign for Palestine Rights. I love how all of these... U.S. Campaign for Palestine Rights provides up to $7,800 for its community-based fellows and between... $2,880 and $3,660 for campus-based fellows in returns for spending 8 hours a week organizing campaigns led by Palestine organizations. They're saying, are they implying that this person is getting paid $3,000 essentially to spend 8 hours organizing a protest?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, for what?
Is that what they're claiming?
I think they're just claiming that this is how much they pay fellows, and this is all they're doing. They're just organizing protests for, this is where this was. Anyway.
But that's, all right, go ahead. Sorry.
So what next were sentence. They doing before last month?
Yeah, I don't know. The next sentence, they are trained to, quote, rise up to revolution.
Okay.
The radical group, here's how Soros is linked. Are you guys ready? This is the big expose. The radical group received at least $300,000 from Soros' Open Societies Foundation since 2017 and also took in $355,000 from the Rockefeller Brothers Fund since 2019. Dun, dun, dun.
The Rockefeller Brothers Fund.
Guys, worth sure. $8 trillion.
You gave
$300,000.
Over the course of 7 years. Okay.
Then they go through like these three people that they see and all of them are the way they try to prove that they're criminals is they were arrested for trespassing just on the campus lawn. Okay. You know, it's such bullshit.
But like my question is, so what's their point? Like that these protesters don't actually believe in the cause?
It's hard to say. They're actors.
So then there isn't a rise in anti-Semitism because they're all faking. Is that like, I'm trying to untangle what the issue here is.
Okay. What they're getting this at. Is what I think the issue is. He thinks that the writer of this article thinks that George Soros is taking like this sort of, like inchoate, disorganized feeling of hatred towards Jews in Israel. And coalescing it into something that can do damage.
He's organizing. He's being an organizer.
Yes. Yes, for a bad cause. So, organizing for a bad cause is bad. But to me, I haven't heard anything. Like, I wish more money was being poured into this. Well, none of these things being described are bad in any way.
The other
thing,
all these right-wing people hate these elite private universities. So these protesters are causing chaos at these universities. Shouldn't they be thrilled? It's like, that's what you get. That's what you get from being all literally, leftist and woke and cancel culture. Now, good. Take it.
The thing but is, like 2 years ago, all these conservatives were up in arms because Milo Yiannopoulos was getting canceled and his speaking engagements. And they were like, no, we need to protect free speech on campuses. This is where things foster. You need to let them talk, say what they want to say. And then now they're...
Well, they don't really care about free speech. That's
right.
But wasn't there also like recently a documentary where they were caught like astroturfing people to go do pro-Israel stuff on campuses and in different places like that. Like Al Jazeera, I think, did it. Al Jazeera did a documentary.
Sounds right. I haven't seen it, but I wouldn't doubt it.
And they caught the guy just being like, you know, oh, yeah, you got to stick to these talking points and always say Jews are being attacked and da-da-da-da-da. So now that's the same thing that they're claiming George Soros is doing, except they have way more money to Israel lobby.
Well, so here's the thing. The cash from Soros and his acolytes has been critical to the Colombia protests. The three groups set up tent cities on Colombia's lawn Wednesday. Students for Justice in Palestine, Jewish Voice for Peace, and Within Our Lifetime, three terrorist-sounding organizations. Like, Jewish Voice for Peace, when I hear that, I'm terrified. Like, oh, no. These guys want trouble. At the Gaza Solidarity Encampment, students sleep in tents apparently ordered from Amazon and enjoy delivery pizza. Coffee from
Maytense? Like, what cares?
Coffee from Dunkin'.
Not Dunkin'.
Free sandwiches worth $12.50 from Pret a Manger. Organic tortilla chips and $10 rotisserie chickens. The nerve.
Pret a Manger.
Look at this photo they have. It's like, oh no. The smoking gun, the $12 Pret sandwiches. Yeah. This is Soros in action.
Pret a Manger around my neck.
It's pronounced Manier, Rob.
Pret a
Manier.
Manger,
is it? Okay.
I don't. I
He's French.
French expert.
Pret a Manager, I say.
He never gets respect.
And a former Wall Street banker, Felice Gelman, a retired investment banker who has dedicated her Wall Street fortune to pro-Palestine causes, funded all three groups. So what are they saying? The Jews are funding the anti-Jew movement? like what is the dog whistle here?
Well, to Russ's point, they never did use the word Jew, maybe only but not from any altruism, but like they just can't because it looks so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like two rich Jewish people doing this.
So ridiculous. Who wrote this article? Who's the sleuth?
Let's see.
OJ Simpson.
Oh, I just love the last
work on this.
Earth. I love this Dunkin' this photo. Like, look at this evidence, Dunkin'. And so the way they link these is all these three groups are. Here's Soros. An analysis by The Post shows how Soros and Gelman's cash made its way to the students through a network of nonprofits that help obscure these contributions.
Clearly not that well, since someone from the fucking New York Post could figure it out.
Also, it's $300,000 over 4 or 5 years.
7 years, like, you said, since 2017.
7 years. So, like, that's what? $50,000 a year? That's not even one person's salary from a billionaire. Like, think about how much money Soros... it's like some change at the bottom of his fucking, you know, pant
how many
pocket.
Dead babies before you start digging, you cheap fuck? look at this. So such a post sentence here. Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's top aide and the estranged wife of pervert Anthony.
Gotta take that shot. Gotta get in that little jam.
you know, Wiener has that Google alert and he's.
He's eating off to that sentence.
Oh, Soros has given billions.
Pervert again.
So here's how they link it. Soros has given billions to the Open Societies Foundation, which his son Alexander, whose partner is Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's top aide, and the estranged wife of pervert Anthony Weiner, now controls. Look at this. Look at this map they're weaving. Like everyone, like Hillary Clinton is on, is now anti-Israel too somehow.
Notice because Israel activist Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like someone asked AI to do an article with all the right-wing buzzwords combined.
Yes. I'm surprised there's nothing about trans people in here.
We haven't finished the article.
We haven't got, there's still a lot to the article. In turn, Open Society has given more than $20 million to the Tides Foundation, a progressive nonprofit fiscal sponsor that then sends cash to smaller groups. This is how they trickle down the money to these leftist organizations. Those groups include a Jewish Voice for Peace, Look at these terrorists, which between 2017 and 2022 has received $650,000 from Soros's Open Society. Its advisors include the academic Noam Chomsky and the left-wing feminist author Naomi Klein.
Just Jew upon Jew upon Jew. Like, what are we talking about here?
That's funny that they called her left-wing and not Noam Chomsky. And she's like a lib. And he's
I would agree with you. He's far more left.
What do they call Chomsky?
Nothing academic. I guess that's
who's the academic
to the post. Yeah. That's a slur.
JVP has a prominent part of the protest at Columbia, and one of the student members was among a group expelled from the university for inviting a leader of a proscribed terrorist group, Khaled, to the Resistance 101 Zoom meeting. Soros has also donated $132,000 to WESPAC, Westpac, called in full the Westchester's People's Action Coalition Foundation.
I'm sure Khaled, whatever that is, the terrorist organization, is probably like, you know, they said Palestine should have its own state or something. And that makes them a terrorist.
Yeah.
Or it's DJ Khaled.
To orphaned babies.
I do love it being the post. They had to include this photo of Huma Abedin and her boyfriend, Alexander Soros, here.
What do you think is Alexander Soros? Would you smash, Rob?
You know what?
Sure.
I'm a mild thrash, I'll give him.
He's twinkish. He's twinkish.
Yeah, like, depends on the voice, I would say.
What if he did gay porn, but he only was straight? Would you orchestrate a Robbie Rideout?
Reese Rideout is the actor you're talking about. And sure, yeah, I don't care about that.
You'd have to organize a whole shoot then, because he won't fuck you if it's just in a hotel.
Oh, I'm not. No. I'm fucking him.
All right. I meant colloquially. He won't fuck
you. Oh, yeah.
He won't hook up with you.
Oh, unless it's a porn shoot. Yeah. Right. Oh, I see. Well, I don't know about that. I don't want to have sex with him that badly. No.
You don't want Huma Abedin sloppy second?
I don't want to be Eskimo sisters with Huma that badly.
Now, do you think George Soros would be pleased that one of his employees is fucking his son, or would you be cut off, Rob, from your Soros if George found out?
That's true. I do take that relationship seriously enough where I wouldn't have sex with a son. Fair. The money's just too good. So I guess that's the bulk of it. There's just other Jews that they try to call out here, which is so weird. Like this woman, who's a former Orthodox Jew. Is this just like Jew shaming?
Yes.
The article, yes. Right? Like you're not supporting Israel. Let's see who wrote this. Isabel Vincent. I'm surprised that they put their name on it.
Why? Out of this shit.
I guess this person's just covering the anti-Israel beat.
Well, there's so much out there. Yeah. OJ's final insult. What was his final insult? Can we read that?
Is he the one insulting someone, or is it a last insult we're lobbing at him?
Oh, that's a good point. Good question.
Oh, it's him insulting the victims' families.
Well, he never had enough money to pay the victims, did he?
Well, maybe it was just creative accounting.
I don't believe so, yeah.
It's true.
He was funneling all his money to a Jewish Voice for Peace. That would be a great article if they could link those two stories and somehow OJ was funding these protests.
I might have to rethink this Palestine thing.
So I want to before we get off this protest, I want to also share some tweets I found recently. So this right-wing organization, the Free Press, posted this video calling Colombia a communist Coachella like it's an insult. And they tried to show this video about, like, look at all this craziness happening here. And if anything, I feel like they proved the opposite. Take a look.
I am in the middle of the Gaza Solidarity Encampment on Columbia University's campus. This is day 7 of students camping out to press their university to divest from investments they say go back to Israel, which they call a genocidal terrorist state.
We will not stop. We will not rest.
I am
oh my God.
The TARP, which is where they distribute food. They have a lot of supplies.
It's like David Attenborough.
Palestine is almost free!
Oh, no.
I don't know about that.
Corner,
yeah.
Where people are making signs. I'm reading some that say trans fags for Palestine.
Oh, my God. For Palestine. I love how that's supposed to be some sort of gotcha, but a trans person wrote that, you know, like,
well, no, it's a gotcha in that the people watching this, it's like, oh, one group we don't like supports another group we don't like. See, it matches up. Mm-hmm. Mm. That's all.
I see.
Students show no sign of
free Palestine.
I saw can be best described as a socialist summer camp.
Sounds great.
You know, they say it's all about Gaza, it's all about Palestine, but it was really giving Coachella.
How was it giving Coachella? Was like, what are you even talking about? These are words. You're just saying
but
words.
But then again, so then their whole point is that these people don't even care about the issue. So then what are we upset about?
Yeah,
What's the problem?
And she can be best described as a 99-cent store Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
Is this warm, fuzzy feeling, but it also feels and functions like a police state.
What?
It's warm and fuzzy, but also a police state.
Yes.
We at the encampment have always stressed the importance of safety. We've always stressed the importance of our community guidelines and values, which is vehemently opposing all forms of oppression.
Oh, I also saw someone shitting on them for wearing masks, but I think they made a statement that they wear the masks like because there's like immune system deficient people in the camp.
Yeah,
I figure they just don't want to get like expelled or doxxed, which also is a good reason to do that.
Right. But the statement they themselves made was that we have immunodeficiency people here. And like, that's, you know, they're not like cowering in fear of COVID. Like, that's how it's being portrayed.
Oh, my God.
They're all scared of COVID because they're delusional and they listen to the news too much.
See, once again, it's just like throwing all the right wing buzzwords into one fucking hodgepodge. There's no coherence. It doesn't make any sense. But it's just like, they're just there. They're not. We're not giving them a voice, so let's just throw every fucking thing we have on them.
I still wear a fucking mask. I don't fucking care what anybody says.
This woman tweets, in Colombia's Gaza Solidarity Encampment, they have free hand warmers, Aveeno sunscreen, and melatonin gummies. Protest, but make it comfortable. God forbid. They're fucking hanging out there for a few days. Why wouldn't they have... Look, they have tampons, like basic things. Like, so
protesting
what?
Is... You're supposed to bleed out on your period when you're protesting.
For a group of kids that apparently couldn't organize a keg party, says who? They're in one of the top universities in the fucking country. These are just like elite students. In a brewery, they seem to be well provided for. Again, this is a top university. These are rich kids. Right. With costumes, flags, mass printed signs, transport tents, and
we don't know which of these kids are like scholarship kids or which of them are actually
sure. But I feel like there's probably a good mix.
I don't think it even matters anyway if they're rich and doing something good for them.
Yeah. Is there any reporting on the money trail? BLM, Antifa, Pro Hamas have followed the same pattern.
Reply with the New York Post link. Look them up. Do it as we in real time.
This was great. So on the Israeli side, this guy showed up in a stormtrooper mask.
Okay.
The Empire and started chanting, "The Empire did nothing wrong." And look at how the Israelis respond.
The liberal media is not going to tell you that. The Rebel Alliance kidnaps children and they indoctrinate them to talk about Star Wars. Wait, is there a Star Wars area? Wait, there's a special area to talk about Star Wars. The Mandalorian uses Baby Yoda as a human shield. How are you doing?
Wow, that guy's definitely older than I expected.
I'm going to be on Fox tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. So, the Mandalorian was using Baby Yoda as a human shield.
Baby Yoda.
Was being used as a base for the Rebel Alliance. Say what you want about the Sith Lord, but I mean, he, you know, dealt with the Trade Federation and the whole blockade of Naboo.
Okay. And for those who are a little bit less familiar with Star Wars, could you draw the analogy a little bit?
You know, you want to start with episode one. You see that.
How does that connect to this issue or why you're out here?
What is you? What's this? What's going on here? What is this? Oh, Israel? Oh, huh. Hard to say, really. Thank you.
And then here's an example of the violence. There's a Shabbat prayer in the liberation zone, in the, where they're just chanting Hebrew. Yeah, these damn terrorists. Terrible.
That's a lot of lights that need to be turned off by Goyim.
And you know, now cops are getting in there and doing their cop thing, which is agitating and arresting.
Well, that was a few days ago, right? They haven't come back yet.
Wasn't that one?
Well, I feel like all over the country now there's footage. So I want to just quickly show, like, what's interesting now is these cops are going after white women, you know, these professors. And it's like, I think this is when they might have gone too far. Like,
managers are being called.
Here is perhaps
managers.
Here's perhaps the
manager around my
What are the more absurd videos that aren't violent? There have been a few violent ones where women are just thrown to the ground for just asking what's going on. I don't really want to show those because we like to keep things a little lighter here. Come on, stop it, Sid. So here's just this one, which I thought was kind of funny.
I'm so sorry. Is there anything I can do for you right now?
Can you call the philosophy department office and tell them I've been requested?
Fill out the philosophy department?
Yes.
Is that Martha Stewart?
She looks exactly.
I will. What's your...
What was that, Darren? I can't hear you.
It's exactly like one of my professors.
Oh, wow.
She's saying I'm the chair of the philosophy department. That's got arrested. It's so absurd.
I will.
What would Nietzsche say about this arrest? Use your expertise.
Probably the cop wanted to fuck his mom. Oh no, that's more Freud. Yeah. That's more Freud. Sorry.
What's your?
But anyway, that's the protests. I honestly, I don't know. I'm impressed with the gumption of these people. I don't know if. Like some of them got expelled from campus. They lose their scholarship for getting arrested. That's a lot. I don't know if I'd have the balls to do that.
I wouldn't. But I also would never get a scholarship anyway, so it wouldn't be in I wouldn't be in Columbia to begin with. Brooklyn College doesn't give a shit about stuff like this.
You got a scholarship. What are you talking about?
It's not a scholarship. I got a for being poor. I didn't get a scholarship for being smart.
That's fair. You wouldn't want to risk losing it. You got a free TV out of it.
What?
Financial aid, right?
Yeah. FAFSAs.
Not the
Pells and shit.
Mm-hmm. But wait, part of your grant money was because you kept up a certain GPA, so you did get something.
Did I?
Yes. You had to keep up a 3. To get Pell, you had to keep up like a 3.5.
No, oh, I definitely didn't do
or something like that.
No way, buddy.
I'll go to school now.
Or C. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. That doesn't mean I'm smart. That just means I'm awake some of the time.
There you go.
Showing up.
Yeah. Do we think these protests are going to lead to any actual tangible change?
No.
No, right? not immediately overnight, but I think it does tend these things change the mood of the conversation sometimes, and that.
Yeah, I do think I agree with that. Like these visuals of these, normal white people, quote unquote, getting attacked by cops changes the conversation.
Let's say we wake up tomorrow and Columbia announces it is fully divesting all of its funds from any Israeli companies. Does Bibi Netanyahu see that and is like, all right, that's it, ceasefire? He doesn't give a fuck.
I think it's the beginning of something. I think it's like one entity has to do it, and then they all have to feel pressure, and this has to keep happening. Like, just because you got Colombia off the board, it's not going to do general, it by itself, like you said. Yeah. You know, you got to make that the norm, and then everyone starts divesting. And then,
yeah, like public perception has changed so much just in the last 2-3 years about this. I feel, where people are realizing that, oh, hey, you know, what's going on over there? Maybe what we're being told on the news isn't exactly what's happening.
But you got another issue, which Sid mentioned, which is Netanyahu is just a crazed ideologue, and Biden is a crazed ideologue, and they just fully believe that it doesn't matter. Like, to this,
if Biden
this
loses, it's not like it's going to get better under Trump.
Right. So. But I think bitter is a very subjective word. I do not think that, I think it implies some goodness under Trump. I think Trump's shittiness, narcissism, and stupidity can lead to him being distracted from the goal, and good things can happen by accident. Whereas under Biden, I mean, the guy's senile, but, you know, he's got a whole team of handlers that can keep him on message, and he knows what's going on. Like, he's there enough to know Israel is like the linchpin of all this shit. Like, they believe in this stuff hardcore. Biden is just Netanyahu. Like, if they had unrestricted like government the way Israel has, they would be doing the same shit themselves. You know, I'm not telling people to run out and vote for Trump. I mean, I feel like I would rather neither of these guys are anywhere near the White House. But less destructive foreign policy, I think, is Trump. I'm voting
with Israel specifically. I don't know if I agree. I think he's going to let them do whatever the fuck they want and not even accidentally criticize them, where at least Biden.
But he hasn't criticized them already, huh? Though. Trump has criticized them
what
already.
What did he say?
He says they need to wrap it up. That
really?
Not, out, people.
Yeah.
It was like a week ago. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, and there was like
the cause
blowback.
Is good. The cause is good, but, you know, they're getting bad PR.
He put it in terms of The Apprentice.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And also that it's making America look bad, which I think is more important to him than his relationship with Israel.
I don't think he'll ever follow through on it. Like, I don't think there will ever be a coherent policy that comes out of Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is no peacenik, but
right.
I understand what you're saying, Darren, in the sense that like he sometimes stumbles into something good by just being stubborn and just having some sort of vendetta against like Mitch McConnell and just not wanting Mitch McConnell to have his way, which somehow ends up with him taking a more.
I don't like the general's lapel pin. We're not doing that plan.
No.
Exactly.
The real move. We're too late for this now, was to say, we don't want Trump. What's the best thing to do? Get rid of Biden, because A, he can lose to Trump because we're in the middle of a disastrous Biden presidency. And B, there's many issues where he's as bad or worse than Trump. So if you go Trump versus Trump, it's not the situation you want. Get rid of Biden. Primary him. No, we can't have primaries. We can't have debates. We can't have it. We're going to sue third parties off the ballot. We're going to. So you're effectively, if Trump wins, that strategy is electing Trump. The move was to get Biden out of the fucking way before, like 6-7 months ago. Now we're stuck with one of these two apocalyptic shitheads. You're going to make people choose based on these tiny marginal differences of who's a tiny bit less shitty on one issue that means the most to them. And that's how we keep getting these horrible elections.
Well, on the topic of Trump, a week or two ago,
or Trump.
Well, this is a little lighter. Let's shift gears a little to the Civil War.
Oh, between the sides of his toupee.
Well, he started going off about the Civil War recently. I don't know if you guys saw this
Battle of Gettysburg. The Union was saved by the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was. The Battle of Gettysburg, what an unbelievable...
Read about it in a textbook once.
This is peak Trump.
Was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and... so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country.
What?
Gettysburg, wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you have another said? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill.
Oh, God.
They were fighting uphill.
He also said, I want to point out, we're watching this feed from RSBN. What does that say for? Right.
No
Source BN Broadcast Network.
But right anyway, side of Broadcasting Network.
I see.
Real shit.
They cut the Trump speech into a box to show a literal pop-up ad for MyPillow.com with their affiliate tag. You have to go to /RSBN to get up to 80% off everything, which tells me that I don't know if these, I trust these prices.
Hey, I'm a Jew. I hear 80% off.
Yeah.
I don't care what RSBN.
No, MyPillow was always in like Bed Bath & Beyond. They looked kind of awful. I don't know. They looked shitty.
I never even investigated the product, to be honest.
Me neither.
Could be great. What do I know? It could be a right wing weirdo, but make a good pillow. What do I know?
So someone took this Trump speech and gave it the quote Ken Burns edit.
Oh no.
And it's pretty great. So I wanted to share this.
The Union was saved by the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was. The Battle of Gettysburg, what an unbelievable... it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, my boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great general. And they were fighting. Never fight uphill, me boys. But it was too the Union was saved.
Never fight uphill, me boys.
What is this, in Dublin, this battle? Never fight uphill, me boys. You know,
what a lunatic.
I'm going to be real with you. When I watched that footage, of course I recognize Trump's voice. But if you AI'd that voice into someone else, I would never know that wasn't pulled from a real Ken Burns doc. It's the same shit that he's saying. Same useless pap about history.
Where's Buck O'Neill? That's how I know it's truly Ken Burns. We need Buck O'Neill to weigh in on this.
Oh, Trump will talk for hours on end about baseball. I guarantee you, if you asked him to.
You know, I played baseball in college. I don't know if you know this.
Just talk about how much he loves the Yankees.
Does he? I assume so. Mets fan at some point. I think he's just a populist, you know.
Probably.
In the 80s, he was always going on about
that. There were all these stories about how he would pick up Don Jr. to go to Yankee games. Like, there was that one time he picked him up and he was, like, wearing maybe Yankees gear. And Don or Dad Sr. slapped him, told him to put on a suit.
Mm. Yeah, because
this was told by his dorm mates.
When was Don Jr. a kid? Like,
yeah, the Yankees were.
70s. Yeah, like when the Yankees were. Oh, what were you gonna say? I'm sorry. I thought it was when there was.
Yeah, he was a kid in like the 90s.
Oh, was he?
Don Jr. Like
45.
Yeah.
What?
How old is he?
45 ish. He's a few years older than he's like Sid's age.
Let's see.
Okay. Fair enough. But he was
46. He was born in 77. Wow, I'm surprised. Somehow I figured he was younger than me.
So, yeah, he would have been in that Mets year. I thought he would be, like, going to see Reggie Jackson and stuff like that.
Put on a suit.
I wish there's a video of that.
Oh, my God.
The only time I support child abuse.
Just in the Trump family, you support.
Yeah.
I'm so curious what his relationship with Barron is.
Yeah.
7 foot tall, future NBA star Barron Trump.
How tall is he really? Do we know? Is he really 7 feet? Maybe he is.
I don't know if he's 7 feet, but he might. Trump's, I think he's taller than me.
Trump's like 6'7".
Six, seven.
Yeah.
How tall is Trump? Like 6'5" or something, right?
He's like 6'3", I think.
He's hunched over from old age, but like he's a big guy.
Yeah. From Central Casting.
6'3". Daddy is 6'3".
Gotcha.
Called it. But we'll see. We still got It is kind of crazy how close the election is to, you know, we're only, November.
Well, it went by only, quickly because there were no like real debates. The Republicans just had all these like
useless. Yeah, the primaries were foregone conclusions.
There's no season of elect, like there's no battle going on. We knew it was going to be Biden and Trump since like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
It's true.
And also, no one's excited, but no one gives a fuck. Like, yeah. The majority of the country, except for like two small enclaves of cultists for each side, are like, this sucks. How did we land here again?
Yeah. It's great. Can't wait. Anything more cheerful? Let's talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, Rob.
Oh. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced their latest class.
O.J. Simpson.
That's his final insult.
He was going to introduce Rat to the Hall of Fame. But
And this year's nominees are Cher.
Well, it's not nominees. These are the people that are
inductees.
In.
Sorry, these are in. They're in. You're right. These year's inductees are Cher.
Deserving.
A Tribe Called Quest.
Yes.
Ozzy Osbourne.
That's
solo.
Weird, right?
Huh?
Cher. Why? It seems like she would have been inducted 20 years ago.
Well, I think 20 years ago they were going for something different than they are now. Now I feel they want it to be more pop. More varied and have like pop artists.
Okay.
More so. But I agree with you. Like, it is ridiculous that it took so. It's sexism is really what it is, which the Hall has been accused of.
Is that right? I'm not even.
Jan Winterer is involved, and he's always accused of that shit.
I mean, he, frankly, he said it.
Yeah.
Jan Wiener.
He's not hiding it.
Pervert, noted pervert, Jan Wiener.
So who else? You said Cher, you said A Tribe Called Quest.
Tribe Called Quest, who obviously very influential.
That's awesome.
And I do like that they're including at least. Well, a few hip hop acts every year now, and I think it's. I do think that the terminology "Rock and Roll Hall of Fame" could be updated. Like,
it's
I
just
understand
like popular
the,
music.
Yeah, but they absolutely deserve it. And
yeah,
Ozzy Osbourne solo, sure.
Yeah,
why does he need to be in twice though?
They do that a lot. It's a separate entry.
I understand. And I don't think it's the first time.
I think they just want a fun gala. A fun, varied gal. Like, it's really just for the show, you know?
And even if there was no Black Sabbath, if we're just looking at Ozzy's solo career, that's Hall of Fame worthy, I think.
Yeah.
It is, but he's fucking in it. Like, you're in the Hall of Fame already. How can you go in twice? Like, it just doesn't, it's just annoying.
Yeah.
I understand it doesn't really mean.
What if you're in two different bands that are both Hall of Fame worthy? Is that
that's different because those two bands are not going to they're a sort of an amalgamation of different people's accomplishments, whereas this is he's already in for that and now he's just going in for his whole body of work, you know, like it's like he's
for his solo career.
But also like, so when Sabbath went in, was Dio part of that, or was it just the Ozzy Sabbath? Like, was there a distinction made then? I don't even remember when they went in. But
yeah,
I assume it was like all eras of Sabbath included.
Yeah.
That would have been messed up if they're like, no, not the deal.
Sorry, Tony Martin. Right? Tony Martin, you got to stay home.
Yeah.
Then we got Dave Matthews Band.
I never guess, liked them, but.
But.
Why?
Yeah.
I say strict no. Why would?
Well, because they just pick popular things.
They're
and
huge.
He's very popular. It's horrible, but.
Is he
very
like,
influential?
Jimmy Buffett is
not, I don't know, influential, but like he's a huge fan base.
He is huge, but is he elite level huge? Is he like U2 huge? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so. They had a good run,
but like Tribe Called Quest isn't U2 level huge.
Yeah, but Tribe Called Quest is influential.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's like Nickelback is huge. Are they going to go in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, God, probably.
Then we got Mary J. Blige, which she's just Mary. No, I'm into it. She's a great singer.
I think she's an innovator, too. Like, there was a whole rash of imitations of Mary J. Blige after she came out.
Yeah, so. I agree. Yeah, and she's very respected also. Cool and the gang.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
Foreigner.
That one, like, yeah, I guess there's such like a mid-tier classic rock band, but I guess like if all the top-tier ones have already been inducted and they still want to...
Well, I want the top that they haven't though. I believe Iron Maiden haven't been inducted yet.
Has That's Priest not a classic rock band. That's metal. I don't consider that. Okay. They're in different segments of the
rock. And finally, Peter Frampton. I never got into Peter Frampton.
No, there's no reason to get. You know plenty of his songs, but there's no reason to get into Peter Frampton.
It's just that one album
from
really.
The Simpsons episode.
He's a Baby, I Love Your Way and Show Me the Way. Just songs with the word way in them, basically.
Everyone I know who liked Peter Frampton, like it was always that one album, you know, Frampton Comes Alive.
Yeah.
That's it. And that I didn't know any hardcore Peter Frampton fans growing up.
But he's been around forever. Everybody knows who he is. So again, that's sure. Fine.
I'm against it.
Yeah.
I'm a small hall guy.
But like we'll get to see Q-Tip hanging out with like Mick Jones from Foreigner. Isn't that fun? Maybe they'll jam together. No. Maybe Ozzy will sing the lyrics to I Left My Wallet in El Segundo. Could you imagine?
Who gives a fuck? He actually did leave his wallet in El Segundo.
Sharon, where's my wallet?
It's in El Segundo, Ozzy! Okay. I remember the time that Ozzy left his wallet in El Segundo. We had to get the limo driver to drive to El Segundo.
I remember when the Russian nanny with the big knockers touched his pee-pee.
Yeah.
And I said, baby, I don't love your way.
Ozzy left his mistress in El Segundo.
Knockers.
So some of the artists nominated but not inducted, some of the ones that got snubbed.
I missed the cut.
Missed the cut of votes.
The Don Mattingly's and Keith Hernandez.
Yes. The Dale Murphys.
include Oasis, which I'm shocked they're not
They'll
in
They'll get in eventually. They deserve it.
Yeah. But that's why I feel like Oasis is a band that like critics think are bigger than they really are, you know? Ooh. So I would assume they would have been
creative. They're bigger among creative people types, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they're much like Dale Murphy. They had a extremely high peak, but it was very short. They had a few years, a few albums like in the,
I like them, but I do feel like they're overrated.
And then they blew up. But they were great. I love Oasis. But also, like, look at Foreigner. Fucking Foreigner was around for, what, 20, 25 years more than Oasis. And they're just getting in now. So you'll get there eventually, but you might wait a while. But also, I bet they don't really care. They just show up
drunk and
curse everybody out.
Foreigners. It's not like they want to see each other.
Yeah, they hate each other. Like they don't want an excuse to have to hang out.
Foreigner is Harold Baines.
Yes. For sure. Veterans Committee. Because, like, definitely Foreigner. If you weren't in by, like, 96, you should have just been off the ballot. Like, that was your window. You missed it. You're not good enough. So now getting in, it's just like, oh, yeah, remember that band? A few of those guys are still alive. Let's give them something to be happy about before they croak. Same thing with Frampton.
Then Mariah Carey.
Huh. So Mary J. Blige gets in before Mariah. That's interesting.
Yeah, that is kind of... Well, also, then maybe it's just, you know, people that would have picked one over the other, you know, if they were.
What's the rules? Can you only vote for so many people or can you vote for as many as you want to? I feel like we've covered this before, but I don't remember.
We can only put in one Urban Chanteuse per year. Sorry. How many? Do they do this every single year or is it
every
2 years? I'm not even sure.
I believe it's every year.
Then Sinead O'Connor, which I'm surprised because she passed away this year. It would have been a very touching posthumous induction. And I think she deserves it.
Yeah.
Based on notoriety and all that. And then Sade.
Come on. Sade. That's surprising that she isn't already in.
Yeah.
She's a very critically beloved singer.
Lenny Kravitz. which
whatever. He'll get it eventually because he's fucking
yeah.
Manny Krause, but who cares?
Exactly. Like, I think just because people know. This one's surprising. Eric B. and Rakim, I think, absolutely deserve to be in.
Oh, they're very influential. Invented the boom bap.
Yeah, but they're also, like, they're fantastic, but they're not, like, as famous among non-hip-hop fans as, like, Tribe Called Quest is. So I understand how it would take a while. I bet they get in eventually.
They should get in on the same merits of the Tribe Called Quest, though. Yeah. Like, what they brought to the table for other bands to...
But Tribe also had, like, hits. Whereas Eric B. Rakim is more like your favorite rapper, as opposed to like the broad base, like mass appeal kind of thing. But they for sure deserve it.
And finally, Jane's Addiction, who absolutely will eventually get it.
Yeah, but yeah, also I don't care. It's fine, whatever.
And then Perry Farrell will go in by himself later for solo work.
I don't think he has quite the cachet of Ozzy Osbourne. Well, I mean, maybe Sharon lobbying for him.
Maybe for inventing Lollapalooza. Do they have like a contributions to rock outside of just recorded content?
There is also some, like, they always have. Here we go. The Rock Hall will also be awarding the Musical Influencer Award to Alex Korner, John Mayall, Big Mama Thurston.
You mispronounced Alex Skolnick, Rob, earlier. You said something. I don't think it sounded like Skolnick.
The Musical Excellence Award goes to Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. The MC5, Rest in Piss Award.
Jimmy Buffett and MC5 getting the same award.
That's RIP this week. Rest in Pina Coladas for Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett, MC5, Dionne Warwick, and Norman Whitfield. And the Amit Ertegun Award for Music Industry Professionals to Suzanne DePass. So yeah, they do have induction. Like, so he
those probably won't be on TV though.
Well, last year Jimmy Iovine got one of these, and that was obviously on TV.
Okay,
I think Lou Gramm, A Foreigner, and Perry Farrell should be in the Hall of Fame of changing your name to hide your ethnicity.
Oh, what's Lou Gramm's actual name?
Oh, it's something Italian. I don't
know. Oh, really?
What's Perry Farrell's actual
name? He's really Jewy.
Yeah,
it's
very Jewish.
Peretz Feinstein or something. Peretz Feinstein? I can't remember his last name.
Peretz Bernstein.
Oh, yeah. I don't
know. I've never heard Peretz. Is that
Lou Gramm is Louis Andrew Grammatico.
There it is. Yeah, I know it was Gramm something.
He's from Rochester? I had no idea. Why did I think they were British?
Yeah.
I guess Foreigner. I assume they were actually foreigners.
Yeah, they're foreign to British people.
Learn something new every day, Susan.
Yeah, there was somebody who was Marty Peretz or something. There's like a
there's Jesse Peretz, who was in Devo and then directed music videos. Oh no, not Devo. The Lemonheads.
Oh, okay.
Jerry Casale was the guy.
And Marty Peretz is a journalist. I just looked up. But I never heard it as a first name until Perry. He named himself Perry Farrell because it sounds like peripheral, right?
Yeah, that was my assumption.
That's what I heard as a kid on the school bus. I don't know if...
What will his face look like by the time he gets inducted?
Oh, my God. Oh.
Will he be recognizable even from how he looks today?
Be a lump of plastic and clay.
There'll be new advancements that we don't even know about yet.
Oh, my God. Then,
that he would have had. It's very scary.
Very scary, Perry.
Too far.
Yeah.
So the way the inductions go is there is a nominating committee that consists of roughly 24 people. Members of the committee are supposed to remain top secret to prevent artists from lobbying them. Oh, this is from 2016, so it might have changed this year. Each member of the committee gets to nominate two artists for induction. The committee has opened an area of nominees. Ballots are sent to more than 600 historians, members of the music industry, and artists, including every living Rock Hall inductee, and the five performers receiving the most votes become that year's induction class. So it's obviously more than five now. But you do get more than you do get a few votes you can do. I believe you're allowed to like nominate five of the 10 or whatever it is.
Oh, pick five of the 10 that are
pick five of the 10. Yeah. That's what I mean. Thank you.
I see.
All right.
Let's talk about our Spotify picks every week. We each pick a song. We throw it on a playlist called the Spotify Music Break. I mean, the RIP Livecast Music Break on Spotify. Give it a search. Give it a little searchy search. You could find it there. And we have over 4 days of music on there. Every week we add a new couple of jams. This week, my pick is...
You picked Mars Volta.
Viscera Eyes by the Mars Volta. And I've been listening to the Mars Volta a bunch this last few weeks. I don't know. I've just kind of been getting back into them. I almost went to the show in San Francisco, almost got tickets to a show in San Francisco where System of a Down was going to be playing with Deftones and the Mars Volta.
Mm.
And it was only until I looked at my calendar and had already realized that I had already purchased tickets to a pretty pricey show here in the city where I was like, oh, I guess I'm busy this weekend.
What show is that?
The Gizzard Wizard. King Lizard and the Gizzard Wizard. I'm going to be singing that.
Dusty Rhodes Muffler says he prefers At the Drive-In. Have you also been listening to them, Rob, or just Mars Volta?
I like that At the Drive-In record, but I definitely listen to Mars Volta more than At the Drive-In.
It's more jammy. It's more up. But I definitely prefer At the Drive-In.
Well, also, I realized that I kind of fell off on Mars Volta. I didn't realize they had so many full lengths because they took maybe an extended break, or maybe I took an extended break from them. So I've been kind of catching up on their discography, which has been really fun. They're great. They're very, very fun. Very fun jammy band. And also, I feel like maybe... when I initially got into them, I wasn't as into the jammier stuff. I liked the more catchy stuff, and now I have more of an ear for the jammy stuff. And so, speaking of jammy stuff, I went to see a jammy band, Knower, who I've put into the Spotify playlist before.
Knower,
not the way Thor Schretzing pronounces Noah, but Knower as in I know, I'm someone who knows, Knower, Knower. I don't know. But they're a really fun, jammy rock band. And they have it's essentially people that went to music school. They're band after music school. That's how I would describe it. Because they have trumpets or whatever. It's very fun.
Sid, it's very rock. Back his contempt while you're.
I know. Sid would hate it. Well, let me actually. The thing is, why Sid would like it is they have a very charming, very cute lady vocalist. So
it's enough of a music aficionado to separate that.
Yeah, it's not like I'm fucking out here listening to Paramore and shit.
Well, she's a great singer too. Actually, it really brings the whole band together. I think I might have played
one,
this.
Two.
So this is the band.
One,
saw.
Two, three.
Yeah, they had 11 people on stage.
I don't need more of that woman because I'm already losing interest in it.
Yeah.
Get to the woman.
It's coming.
She's wearing the fart loading t-shirt. I don't know how I feel about that.
Is a good singer?
Say that again?
This is a good singer?
Yeah, she's really good. Here's a very catchy hook. It's coming.
Are these just the Columbia protesters on break? What is going on here? Those people look like they were in those previews.
Yeah, this one is Miss Toro.
God damn it! Is there anything you won't ruin? Honestly, if the higher ups of Columbia wanted to clear out that encampment, just blast this shit at 6
in
the morning.
Oh, you jerk.
What does this have to do with Mars Volta, Rob? Show some respect.
I think this is the first time we had a real time criticism of someone else's pick here.
But this isn't even his pick. That's what this I'm confused about.
I was listening to this. I was listening to Mars Volta on the way to this concert last night. I saw them last night.
I apologize.
So the concert was at Brooklyn Bowl. Have you guys been to Brooklyn Bowl? It's by the brewery. Yeah. I fucking hate it. It is my second
gutter balls clanging in
exactly
your head while you're listening to a band.
It is my second least favorite venue in New York City behind Terminal 5. I'm not sure I will ever go to see another show there because, yes, so it is a half bowling alley, half concert venue.
I believe it's franchised out now. They have them in more than just Brooklyn. Right?
Yeah, there's one in Philly. There's one in Vegas.
Maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. And I cannot tell you how much it kills the vibe that as soon as a song ends, you hear like a strike. Yeah. Or something, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, the aura is so off, and you just hear people talking in the background. Uh-huh. It's just like the music is secondary. Beyond that, they oversell the show, and it's in a cramped area because it's a huge bowling alley.
Can't go to the bowling part.
Right, exactly. You can't go to the bowling part, and the fire marshal code for how many people you could have there is more that can fit in the pit. So you're so cramped. Like, I was feeling claustrophobic. I felt so old at the show. I wanted to see this band so bad. I was standing there for 2 hours before they performed. I didn't even wait for their encore. And I enjoyed their performance. It's just, I hate, like, my back hurt. I was just like, I'm out of here. I'm done.
Oi.
Oi. It was my coming to grips with my mortality. Like, I am not the show connoisseur I once was, where I could handle this much stuff and move past it to enjoy the show. Like, the venue ruined the show for me. You know, like, the band were great, but the venue made it a not pleasant experience.
Not fresh.
Not fair. But anyway, with that said, I picked Mars Volta.
Wow.
I did want to mention that story. Anyway, so Sid, what did you pick before your camera explodes?
Yeah, that was my cat that unplugged my camera for a second.
Sorry, oh, nice.
Ramona is ready for her treats. Our pal Dave Hill and his band Valley Lodge put out a new album
Ooh.
A week ago, so I picked something. The album is called Shadows in Paradise, and I picked the lead track, Daylights. It's very fun, power pop. Dave Hill is a great vocalist, great guitar player, despite what Canadian news shows have to say about his guitar playing. And it's very fun. It's very good. Check it out. Valley Lodge. Love Dave Hill. Darren?
I bet Dave Hill would love Nora.
No.
He's probably best friends with like three of them.
Yeah. He knows everybody.
Yeah.
He doesn't really want to say, but his band's way better. He won't get in front of them. But I'm very excited about this. I found this due to Botchamania, the great YouTube sensation that covers wrestling, botches in the ring, and other funny things that happen in the world of wrestling. But they had this song that played under one of the videos, like as a music bed. And the song was called "Taking a Shit on the Company Dime." Time to take a shit on a company dime. And I said, this is one of the best songs I ever heard. It just sounds like Loverboy, like working for the weekend kind of. And it's done in that style, you know, like a pop anthem. But then I realized that the band, quote unquote band, the artist, is Obscurest Vinyl. And what they just do is they make a fake album cover of a single. And it's like in a different, each song is in a different genre. And they just take this old ass genre. Like, they have one that's a doo-wop song and a old Hank Williams style country song, and they put these ridiculous lyrics to them. So one of them is called "I Glued My Balls to My Butthole Again." I Take a Shit on the Company Dime. Rubbing and a Tugging at My Nips. Fucking dusting off this old butthole that's like a vanity or Apollonia type, vibe. Wow. Quit Jizzing in the Hot Tub. And Barking Up the Wrong Bitch. This Baptism Fucking Blows. I haven't listened through all of these. I'm excited to do this. I just found this last night.
Nice.
I'm going to go through this album. But it's great. I'm very excited.
Nice.
Very cool. And, of course, I want to mention our Patreon. If you enjoy the show, you like all the free content we provide you, and you want to show us some support, throw us a little tip, throw a little money in the tip jar, $5 a month gets you access to 2 bonus episodes every month and over 4 years of archived bonus episodes only available on the Patreon. Go to patreon.com/RIPLivecast. We had just done a roundtable discussion of the movie The Crow because we thought, oh, the movie's probably good. There won't be much to make fun of. So let's just do a roundtable discussion. You could hear that right now or watch it right now on the Patreon. And during the roundtable discussion, we discussed that the movie was, in fact, not fresh, not good. And there was, in fact, quite a lot to make fun of. And we wondered if perhaps we should have done a watch along. And then one or two of you in the Patreon said, yes, please do a watch along. And so this Wednesday, we will be posting a watch along of The Crow. We already have a watch along of No Holds Barred. And there's plenty of watch alongs. You can watch a movie with us, hang out with us, mystery style. Mystery Science Theater 3000 style. 3000 style. Why did I say it like that? Anyway, and we have a ton of other types of episodes like the.
Was there an Hall of Fame Powers line like that? Is that what's coming back?
We have a Hall of Fame, baby. We have our own Hall of Fame. You hear that, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, baby? And guess
that
what?
Sounds Douglas more Levison, like Rebecca Moore.
Douglas Levison and Rebecca Moore are both inducted into our. Is Rebecca Moore inducted into our Hall of Fame? I don't know, actually.
I can't remember. We should do an Austin Powers watch along where it's just me and Darren for 90 minutes listening to Rob recite all the dialogue in full accent just to see if we can make it through without killing ourselves.
On suicide.
I'm kind of up for that.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
That's your go-to.
Evacuation. Evacuation. Complete. When he urinates.
Give me a little fat bastard.
I'll eat because I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy because I eat.
It's a vicious psycho.
It's vicious. Oh, I forgot the tag. Wow. I'm embarrassed that I forgot the vicious cycle tag.
Farts. Oh, my God.
Sorry, I farted.
Oh, my goodness. You just unlocked a memory for me. Sorry, I farted. Jeez, that was just such a big part of my lexicon for like a good decade.
Well, because you farted a lot, then you'd have to apologize for it.
I really liked, although a gold member, I feel, was not up to the snuff of the other two films, but the one thing I really love is Fat Bastard's role in Gold Member.
Really
nailed. That's the best part of the movie, I think.
Yeah, and then, but I think it's just because there was too much formula already, so by the third, it's like, oh, I have to create another character.
Right.
Like, I didn't like the character Goldmember. It wasn't fun or funny.
Right. There may be but a couple of lines that other people reacting to Goldmember had that were funny.
Yeah.
But not him. Agreed. Nothing he was doing that was interesting.
Yeah, I didn't like the bit about eating the skin.
Yeah.
But...
it was gross.
Yeah. Maybe we do a Goldmember watch along about how disappointed we are at that movie.
But I do like them. I don't think it's a terrible movie. It just pales in comparison to the other.
Yeah, that's true. Because like Beyonce was great. Yeah. She was much better than Heather Graham. I wish we had Beyonce in the second movie.
I like the interaction between Austin and Michael Caine too. There's some real good. There's some gold in there. Pardon the pun. Didn't mean it.
There's two things I hate in this world. People intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch. Bless Michael Caine.
Dutch hater. Yeah, that was a good gold number line. I guess there's one. Dutch hater.
Rob, I guess you know how you need to read the shout outs then.
No. Get your finger in position.
Yeah, that's right.
Do it as Dr. Evil. You're not doing enough Dr. Evil.
You're right. Which I feel was my favorite character of the series at the time. I feel like he was the true star. If you really love the show and you want to show us a little extra support, $10 a month, you become a top Livecast fan and you get a shout out at the end of the show, which is right now. And we're going to make it a little evil. Yes. Okay. Eric. Right. Benjamin, I need you to shush it. Shush. Denar. Shush. Mindy Mayer's Kippa, where are my sharks with frickin' laser beams on their heads? Shusur Sususits. Man, I'm like totally drawing a break of Dr. Evil quotes right now.
Oh my really? God.
Zip it. I'll give you some. I'll feed you some lights.
Yeah.
Zip it.
Probably shouldn't have taken that bong rip before the show. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
My something about a penchant for buggery.
Lando Danks, I will make you my number two.
Okay.
$1 million.
LaCroix. Yeah.
Hmm? $1 million.
LaCroix, I request $1 million or I will bomb Corey and Scotty H while they visit Aaron. Douglas, who are you, Levison? I want my sharks with freaking laser beams.
Still?
Wow, you really forgot Austin Powers. Oh.
I have. It's been a while. And that was my favorite movie. Jeez Louise.
How about please just sing a little bit of Just the Two of Us? How about that?
Jander, why don't you come over here and give Daddy a hug? Come on.
You complete me? There's another one.
Randy Blatt, you complete me.
I feel like I still remember the whole rap song that he did.
I do not.
Go for it.
I don't know, maybe not the whole thing. From the time that I saw Frau say I had a clone, I knew that I'd be safe because I'd never be alone. An evil doctor never shares a lot about his feelings. My hurt and my pain don't make me too appealing. I thought Scott would look up to me. Take over the business of the family. That's where I'm blanking. But then he sings to Mini-Me.
Why must I be surrounded by freaking idiots? Yeah. I forgot about that one. Anyway.
Oh, laugh uncontrollably. Like then they all get tired of laughing and the camera just stays on them.
It's true. Well, it's time for us to zip it because the show is over. We'll be back next Saturday. And until then, goodbye.
Remember the voice. That's good.